Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Get your Kimmer fix every Friday morning on The Morning Extra, Atlanta's only conservative news talk station.
Good morning, y'all. It is the 7 p.m. hour of The Morning Extra. As you heard the big voice tell you, Kimmer coming up later this hour, right around 7:30. The word Gatling gun. Can't wait to ask him two questions, and then we'll just let him go from there. The 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by Three Bridges Financial. No Tug this morning as he is on the college tour with his wife and son, as he will be a collegiate freshman next year, getting a chance to visit the College of Charleston. This is actually his the official visit that you get to do as a collegiate athlete. And so this is where the NCAA allows for the university to take care of you. You get to come in, they get to feed you, they get to you know, set you up, and you get to actually kind of do the whole campus tour and everything else. And so it's a cool time for that young commitment. And so definitely looking forward to hearing the stories about what happens on Monday. Still get Low, still get Rhino and Flounder as well. As again, we're going to be taking you until 9 o'clock a little bit later this morning. I do find it interesting. We talked about Project Veritas and the videos that they released. We talked about it early in the 6 a.m. hour, Rhino, and just looking through Twitter, because I'm always curious to see what happens when a video with 16 million views, what is happening. You have a number of different people that are kind of whistleblowing within their own, you know, sphere of existence. One of them, a former booker for Fox News, that's basically flat out saying, yeah, they're not going to be booking James O'Keefe. Why? Because Pfizer is a massive advertiser. That's incredible. Well, I mean, that's the game, right?
That is the game. And you'll hear Pfizer ads, and that's the fun part about Extra 106.3. You'll hear the Pfizer ads on our station because they buy. We can't say no to certain PSAs and certain ways they do it. But it's all brought to you by Pfizer. The good thing is that our bosses allow us to say things like we say, and we don't worry about who's paying for what. You know what? They're still going to pay. They're still going to buy. We're allowed to talk about those things, and that's what's great about having a conservative talk station like Extra 106.3. We're going to cover the Project Veritas. We're going to talk about that. When they expose it, we'll talk to them about it. We'll communicate. We'll keep doing that as well. So I'm really excited about, you know, what we get to do here every single day.
Well, they make massive ad buys, and what they basically say is, I want to buy this many stations in this market. And so they're not really too concerned about what we say. And that's the crazy part about it, because obviously we've been very critical. We've stayed up with this story. They are concerned with what Tucker Carlson says. They are concerned about what Sean Hannity says. They are concerned about what Rachel Maddow, when she had her show, what they say. And so those people suffer a significant more amount of scrutiny than we do. And so that's the plus. You'll hear those ads. You'll hear one of our people reading one of them on a regular basis. Just understand those are ad buys that we are saying, all right, listen, we got bought. This is what they're doing. But they're not stopping us from telling the people about what is going on out there. Coming up in a matter of minutes, polling now prefers this candidate. I'll tell you about that in a matter of minutes. But let's talk about it. China lied. People died legislation. At least we are now talking about it ultimately upcoming in the House when they're back in session next week, talking about the idea of trying to create a united front that might be bipartisan. We'll see, going after China.
Yeah, we'll see. I think Biden, Hunter, and Joe have too much tied up in China to allow this to get to his desk. So I don't think we'll see it get to his desk. But you have to give credit to Texas Rep. Troy Nels. He's a Republican that introduced this bill. And one of the most important parts of the bill, and I think really thought out, is that there will be no federal funds going to China at all until that nation pays back the $4.6 trillion that was spent by the American government for COVID relief.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck getting it back. I don't think you'll get it back. I love that we're talking about this, but holding China accountable is going to be very important as we go through this. And I think this is the first order of business of this Congress that is now a House GOP majority. I think it's very important. But again, there's $16 trillion of American taxpayers of dollars that went into this COVID pandemic. They want that back, too. We're not going to get that back. We're not going to see it. This is a time where we kind of have to sit back. I'd love to see it. I think it is important. But right now, I just don't think it'll go past this house. The other thing I need to know is, when you get this money back, where's it going? Because if it's going to go back into building trails or earmarked bills or pork for Democrats and Republicans to use, again, we get this money back. This is our money, the taxpayers' dollar. Do we get that money back? That's going to be the important mission.
Well, I mean, it's going to go to Zelensky. We got to save Ukraine, right? I mean, that's where it's going to end up going.
We got to pay for those tanks.
Got to pay for those tanks. We got to pay for those turbine running tanks. I think about this, and we've had a number of different commentators on our side of the political spectrum who have brought this up, and maybe this is a lot more regular. When you talk about the pharmaceutical companies and what we spent, you know, again, we can go after China and we can say what we're going to say about them, but we're never going to get a dollar out of China. In fact, China might retaliate by calling our debt. Yeah. We're calling your debt. I was like, wow, way to crush both of our economies in one fell swoop. I think it makes a lot more sense when you talk about our pharmaceutical industry and saying, we paid you all of this money. We paid you billions of dollars. Give it back. Now, at least we can influence that. But I don't know if there is any real repercussions. You know, we're almost kind of virtue signaling here that the Chinese are to blame. If you dig a little bit deeper, we're just as much to blame for all this as well.
Of course, yeah, because whether or not we investigated into why this was released, whether it was a lab leak, whether it was an accident, whatever it was, the way we handled it is our problem. Taking the taxpayer money to do the things that they were doing, Operation Warp Speed is one, coming up with this vaccine, paying for the vaccine, saying it was free, even though it was coming. I mean, these were all lies that the government told us. I think that the first step, though, is the select subcommittee that Kevin McCarthy put together to investigate the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic. I think you need to go through that first before any of these bills actually hit the floor. Let's investigate the beginnings of the pandemic. Let's find out all the players. Let's get involved with Fauci, figure out all the things that he did wrong, all the things he lied about. Let's look at both administrations if we need to, Trump and Biden. Again, I want transparency on both sides. I want to see what was said, what was done. I want to know it all. I mean, look, if anybody else could carry a classified document out, why are they better to handle classified documents than Americans? That's a lie, by the way. This is the biggest lie in American history. The fact that we don't know what's going on with our own country, this is a government of the people. Just because we elect these leaders doesn't mean that they need to have classified. No, this is just a way for them to continue to cover up and lie to us about what's really happening behind the scenes. Let's be honest about what's going on. So let's get to the bottom of the pandemic first. Then let's go ahead and figure out what we're going to do with China. But like you said, they're going to call our debt. So we can't bluff them into giving us some money back.
What I worry about is that when you start digging, you start finding out stuff and it can become politically dangerous. You know, it's one thing if, here, let's get to the bottom of Jeffrey Epstein. The reason why we're not to the bottom of all of it is that he was so tied in politically that it would damage people around the globe. And so that's why they're like, oh, he's dead and we're done with this. That's it. I think about how damning it would be if you started digging into the origins of this, where the money came, Operation Warp Speed. Ultimately, you might be damaging a man who's planning to run for president again in Donald Trump. And there are enough people within the House who have this power that are like, hey, we can't do that. Like, we don't want to make a political enemy out of the former president. And so that's why I wonder about how much transparency, how much information we're really going to get, because I don't think anybody wants to pull on that string and see what's on the other end.
Yeah, and we also have to get our stuff together, like you said, because we have deaths that happened in hospitals that were coded one way, coded a different way, because we were playing games for this money. We know that money is power, and that's what these politicians want. They want power. That's what they run for this office for. But people died. And that is important. China lied. People died. It's a good act. It's a smart idea. But we need to get to the bottom of why they died. We need to investigate in New York why so many people died. What did our leaders do to cause those deaths? What information were we given? What information was withheld that caused these deaths? I lost Granny. It's not a good thought. They tried to code it differently. We had to go in. So we need to know exactly why things were coded wrong. We need to get to everything that we did wrong first before we go after someone else.
Well, and I'm very curious to see what happens if you find yourself in a scenario where it's like what the Chinese said. the Chinese are blaming us, okay? Like, they've blamed us from the very beginning. They're like, the reason why this thing exists is because of the Americans. And we're like, nope, that's not true. Totally not true. What if it is true? What if it actually happened this way?
I was going to say, well...
Well, and you and I are both of the belief that EcoHealth Alliance and gain-of-function research and everything that was done out of China was funded by the United States and wouldn't have happened if not for that funding and then, obviously, the lab leak, which, by the way, you couldn't say several, you know, even a year and a half ago, that was, you know, horrible, and they call it racist. But I think that's the idea. It's that you're going to have some of these bills that are put in for show.
Yeah.
And they'll say big things, but they're not going to do much of anything. I just believe that's the nature of what we're going to have going on. We'll get to headlines in a matter of minutes, but I wanted to share some polling with you, Rhino, because this is now the second one this week where we're seeing some interesting information and a turn within society. So this is from Marquette University, and we had talked about how the favorability ratings within the Republican Party that – for the most part, you've had Donald Trump that's been leading on a regular basis. But then, you know, Ron DeSantis was, you know, kind of lingering around. Well, in this particular poll, when asked the hypothetical, if you had Donald Trump against Joe Biden, how would you vote? And it came down to 40-40. When you asked about Ron DeSantis versus Joe Biden, DeSantis would win 44-40. Now, here's the other interesting part. When they asked about favorability within the Republican Party, 70 respondents responded that they viewed him favorably, Donald Trump. 28 said unfavorable. 2 said haven't heard enough. Everybody knows who Donald Trump is. That's why it's 2. Ron DeSantis, 71% favorable, 10% unfavorable, 19 haven't heard enough. This is now 2 polls in a week where when the rest of America gets to know this man, I think they're really going to dig this man. This is that takeoff rant that we're talking about for 2024.
Yeah, let's be honest. Everybody knows who Ron DeSantis is at this point. They just might not know how they feel about some of the ideas that he's put through and how they feel about what he'll do as a leader, as president, rather than a governor. Because Ron DeSantis has been so popular, and I've said it before, I've been to CPACs after CPAC after CPAC, and before Ron DeSantis really did what he did last year, people always wanted Ron DeSantis to be the next in line behind Donald Trump, for good reason. And again, today, you're going to see a lot about him rejecting the cash bail reform as an ideological agenda by the woke left. This is a good idea. He's fighting crime by saying, hey, no more cash bail. These judges that are allowing people out that have serious crimes to go out and repeat the same crimes, we're not going to treat them with kid gloves anymore. They are not going to get out on cash bail. We're not going to do any kind of reform. We're not going to allow this to become New York. You moved here from New York to get away from that, and that's what people see in him. He is upfront, honest, never wavers from anything or any decision that he makes.
See, you know about this. And I know about this, and we're close to it. You know, you and I follow politics to an insane level. It's what we do for a living. And we're close to the state of Florida, and we pay attention to it. I wonder about that person who is a, you know, hey, they're a blood red voter, and they live in the middle of Arkansas. Like, I wonder about, like, that person. I wonder about that Republican that lives in Missouri and how much they know about this person, because it doesn't affect their lives on a regular basis. I ponder this. When all of COVID happened, one of the first things that my family and I did were like, it's time to get out of here. We packed up the car. We went to Florida for a couple of weeks because it was much more free there than it was in the state of Georgia. And so I had an immediate appreciation for who their governor was and what they were doing. I just wonder if, like, the rest of the country, as they get to know somebody, the stuff that we know and we like, they're going to fall more in love.
Yeah,
you know, that's what I'm curious about, if it resonates throughout the rest of the country.
I think they will. And I will say this, that Ron DeSantis is a very hard man to get in touch with. Even when I was in Florida for CPAC, I was able to kind of just say hey and talk to him for a few minutes. But when it comes to doing interviews, this man is so busy. But at the same time, he only talks to people when they come to his press conference or a Fox News, a Newsmax, or a national media outlet. So I think a lot of people outside will see him on Fox News. But does he get to talk about? Do they see the same stories? Do they look them up the way we do? No, not at all. Are they as close to them? My parents live in Florida. We're a border state of Florida. You have a home in Florida. We tend to vacate. A lot of, you know, people from Georgia tend to vacation in Florida. So you're going to hear about DeSantis a lot more. So you're right. But once they do find out, because he'll get more and more coverage, and he's smart about picking and choosing national media outlets in order to get his word out right now. And it helps that Gavin Newsom attacks him. It helps that Kathy Hochul attacks him, because you're getting into Democratic strongholds in California and New York. But the middle of the country, they need to hear more from him. I agree with you. But once they do, they're going to love everything that he's done so far.
I think it's going to be fascinating to see how that occurs, as, you know, more likely in 2024 as we ramp up to the next election. I think he'll get that introduction to the country. I think everyone's going to fall in love with the young family. I think everyone's going to fall in love with the foxy wife.
Yes.
Let's face it, that's the important
part.
I still get a laugh out of the movie Moneyball. You and I both dig it. It's one of my favorite movies out there, when they talk about, yeah, that guy, he's got an ugly girlfriend. Well, what does that mean? Ugly girlfriend, no confidence. All right. That ain't the case with Ron DeSantis, all right? We're talking about, like, okay, that dude's got a lot of confidence. That's just how it's going to go. The 7 a.m. hour is brought to you by Three Bridges Financial. Let's get to headlines.
Now, today's headlines, presented by RBM of Atlanta, your Mercedes-Benz connection since 1964.
Yeah, one other quick thing. Casey DeSantis supports Ron. Ron and Casey are a great couple. There's no strippers. There's no former women. There's no scandal. This is a really good-looking, happy family, and I think people are ready for that in the White House. Instead of having two wives like Jill Biden, and Biden has this and that, and the other. Look, it's nice and calm. I like it. All right, here are your headlines for today in the state of Georgia. Governor Brian Kemp signed an executive order allowing him to call up to 1,000 Georgia National Guard members in response to tonight's release of body cam footage from the arrest of Tyree Nichols, a 29-year-old motorist who was removed from his car and beaten by five black Memphis police officers. He died 3 days later. They're scheduled to release a video today at 7 p.m. Police in Cobb County have arrested a homeless man that's accused of drugging and molesting a 12-year-old girl at Shaw Park. Authorities say the man, Douglas Darch, offered the girl a water bottle that made her dizzy after taking a sip. Darch was booked into Cobb County jail on several charges. And the Atlanta Braves have lost scouting director Dana Brown to the Houston Astros. Brown will now be the new general manager of the World Champion Astros. Brown was hired in 2019 and is largely credited for helping stock the Braves farm system with talent.
By the way, because we do monitor this sort of stuff, when we talk about what's going to be coming out later tonight, whether or not we'd be looking for some trouble, just know that Atlanta Antifa doesn't have one thing over the last 24 hours about it on their Twitter site.
Yeah, so, they went to Memphis. That's why.
I was going to say. I'm going to go look at Memphis as well and be like, all right, let's see what they're posting. But as of right now, no word, nothing out there as well. Normally, these groups all tend to network together in order to cause more trouble. When we get back, it's time for the Radio Gatling Gun, as we get a chance to talk with Kimmer. Number of different topics, and you know, the goal right now is two questions apiece for me and Rhino. We'll get into that with Kimmer coming up next right here on The Morning Extra. Extra 106.3 FM.
He's back. You may have heard that Kimmer is back, and his new home is Extra 106.3. Download the Extra 106.3 app to listen to his podcast right now.
Stand by. It is the 7 o'clock hour, brought to you by Three Bridges Financial. It is that time each and every Friday. He is the Kimmer.
And hi, Kimmer,
let's start right here, because last night you've seen more of the Project Veritas stuff getting out there. And this Pfizer executive, Kimmer, this has been mind-blowing to see.
I had so much fun watching that last night, especially because, you know, Dr. McSqueely or whatever his freaking name is. I mean, oh my God, I love when they're showing how smarmy they are, and they're so, you know, predisposed to excellence, and they know better than anybody. And I mean, I couldn't believe it. Obviously, the key words are, you know, cash cow, gain of function research. Basically, he admitted doing it, and they want to do it, and they're planning to do it, and it'll make them a cash cow bundle of money, on and on and on. But the funniest part, of course, was when he got caught and started squealing like a stuck pig. And I know you mentioned earlier, and I saw it too, that big camera guy with a red shirt on just shoves him once and almost puts him through the wall. I mean, but the bottom line is, nobody's talking about it. You would think that the FBI, what a joke, let's get rid of all the entire top level of our organization. You'd think they'd be investigating and swarming all over this and saying, we're going to open up and da-da-da-da-da. Nothing. Media's not even covering it. How do you explain? Well, I can explain it. If that had been one of Donald Trump's Republican medical advisors who got caught saying things like that, guess where the media would be covering all the stories right now? I mean, it's astounding. And for him, you know, I lied. I was lying. You know, that's the first thing they do. These gutless, squirmy little pathological liars. You know, these holier than thou, pretentious little scumbags are taking us down a path we should not be going. And where's the outrage? How come Americans are saying, wait a minute? You mean they're doing this on purpose to make more money? I'm flabbergasted. If it weren't for Tucker, I wouldn't have known anything about it.
No, I think they're going to keep it quiet. I mean, don't they want this to be quiet? Because there's the only reason you hide things like this or keep things quiet is because you don't want everything really coming out or the truth coming out.
Well, I'm assuming that that the yellow-bellied FBI disgrace of Atlanta, Chrissy Ray, has probably hired that guy now to work for the FBI to investigate the pharma industry, ladies and gentlemen. It's incredible. Like, just like the FBI, Comey hired the Russian spy to be his key guy to investigate Russian spying. Oh, my God. You know, they should all be in prison. I know I'm just an old fuddy-duddy, but honestly, how could anybody look at all these facts? I mean, they're not, you know, conspiracy theories. They're actual facts and go, holy smokes, what have we done? I mean, seriously, what have we done? Where are we going? And they're still doing it. All this stuff, again, on Fox, on Tucker, the critical race theory. Almost every night there's a hidden video of some teacher saying, well, you know, we can't say critical race theory, so we teach social justice by changing the name to Fred and the Meatloaf. Yes, today's topic, Fred and the Meatloaf. I mean, you know, and they're admitting it, and they're smiling and wisecracking, you know, we just changed the words, and they'll never catch us. And then when they do catch us, we change the words again so they'll never keep up. I mean, I've seen them saying it. And yet, we need more money for our teachers and to make sure that the parents should leave them alone and let them do what they want. I don't get it. Honestly, guys, flabbergasted.
But Kimmer, I want to bring this up, too. Just as you said, because I said the only mainstream person who has covered this is Tucker Carlson. And if you're not, you know, again, Rhino and I have been paying attention to it because we're on Twitter and we're that weird group. And there's been 16 million views of this video. But for anyone out there who's not on Twitter or not on Tucker Carlson, you don't know anything about this story.
Well, that's how President Showers with Daughter got elected.
Yep.
I mean, literally, and nobody complained. They're all saying, well, it's better for the country because we don't want that Trump fellow again. I mean, it's unbelievable. And you know, the generation that believes, well, Trump got what he deserved because we just know he's not the best thing for our country, in my opinion. It's, you know, they've taken it upon themselves to decide what's best for everybody else instead of saying, let's just have an open dialogue and see where the ideas come from and who's got the best stuff. It's so anti-American. It's literally hard to believe. We're stuck with it. And the Twitter, more Twitter links. My God, the story of the meeting at the Aspen Institute.
Yeah,
and it was August of 2020, and they said, well, we're going to figure out how we can make sure that the Hunter laptop information does not get out because we believe it's Russian disinformation. But even if it's not, it's going to hurt Joe Biden, so we want to make sure that doesn't happen. The head of that was the woman who's was a president of NPR, executives in the Department of Justice, the FBI, meeting to talk about Hunter's laptop and to keep it out of the public eye. And I believe that's also when Facebook changed their algorithm during the election so that the news and coverage of Donald Trump would be sidelined and in favor of Joe Biden. In fact, after the business last night and Pfizer, since that went public, Google canceled and censored all searches on about Pfizer on Google.
Yeah.
Now, what more do you need for evidence of the collusion? I mean, this has been going on for 6 years. Against Donald Trump and against the Republican Party, the most, you know, the white MAGA Republicans are the most dangerous segment of American society. Remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're the deplorables. Let me ask you about this. Carlos did a great job yesterday with Neil Bortz. They brought up the fair tax because one of our reps, Buddy Carter, brought it up and said, hey, I'm introducing legislation for a fair tax. What do you think about the fair tax? Do you think it's something that we really need to start considering and hopefully getting through?
Well, first of all, there's a huge story in the Al Jazeera Constitution this morning about the fair tax. But not one word about Neil Bortz. Not one. He didn't mention his name, didn't mention anything about it. You know, he's going nuts because they're lying about it. Plus, they say, well, President Pervert Crime Family says, well, it's a 30% tax. I can't believe if I hadn't seen it, I wouldn't believe it. Well, it's not a 30% tax. They're lying about it, which is typical. But again, I mean, Bortz must be going nuts. I heard him the other day, Tuesday, when he was on, and he was saying they're lying about everything. I can't believe it. So he's got to be freaking out again today.
Oh,
might have lost Kimmer there for a moment. And then let me bring this up right here as we work to get Kimmer back. I ended up hearing from a gentleman last night. He had called into the radio station. He jumped on to our line of sanity, and he wanted to discuss a handful of things because he was a tax professional. And the big sticking point within all of this is when you hear from the fair tax advocates, they talk about, well, it's a 23% tax, and here's how it's going to be put on here, and this is what it's going to do. Yet, the math is a little bit wonky, and he brought that up with me about how it's actually closer to 30%, and here's how it's passed along to you. And so that always becomes the argumentative point, is that when we talk about the cascading taxes, when it comes to production of a good and then how it's passed along to you, the fair tax people say it's 23%. Other people say it's considerably higher, Rhino. And so that ends up being the big sticking point with this, where right now one side saying 23, the other side is saying 30 and making sure to put that in your face.
Yeah, see, they can use whatever number they want that because they can play with it. It's really, I think realistically, you're looking between 23 and 28%. Don't even care what that number is, to be honest, even if it is 30%, because I realize when you listen to the show or you read the books and read both of the fair tax books like I have, you'll realize that that won't actually hurt you. In fact, you'll still be paying the same price, if not lower, for products.
And, Kimmer, we were just talking about how that 23% number is what fair tax advocates talk about, but you do have analysts that say it could be anywhere from 23 to 30%. That ends up being that, I think, that big argument where you really can't pinpoint exactly what that number ends up, that cascading tax that falls at you.
Well, here, in my opinion, the problem is going to be people like me. And my first thought was thinking about it was, well, if it works, that'd be great. But, you know, a sales tax is a regressive tax. And that means the people with the less money have to spend more of it to do their, you know, basic daily stuff. And so it hurts them more. It's a higher percentage out of their total income than other people making a lot of money who have plenty to spend and don't care about, you know, what they're paying for it. So people like me are saying, gee, that doesn't seem fair because I'll be spending a lot more of my percentage and no one's guaranteeing the prices are going to go down. Maybe they won't. And if they don't, you know, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a tax guy. I'm not an economics guy. So my initial impression from the very beginning has been, well, is this really going to work? I mean, how do we know this? Has it ever been done? Well, I mean, I'd love to see a place where it worked. And man, this has been terrific. And although I'm sorry, as I say that, I remember now 20 years ago, whatever, when Bortz brought this up, he gave a couple of examples of some jurisdictions, government municipalities, who went to a complete private sector sort of retirement program, and it worked like a charm, but no one else has kind of picked up on it. So maybe these things do work somewhere. I don't know. I'd love to see an example of it where it's successful.
Yeah, I mean, it does work, and I'm gonna ease your pain here because you're already paying that tax in anything you buy, whether or not you have the money or not. Now the tax gets eliminated from the corporations. They've already built the 30% in, so you're already paying that 30% tax. That's where the price will come back to be the same, and you'll still be getting the products at the same time. Unless, of course,
of
course, you buy weed from a drug dealer, those kind of things, then you're going to be in trouble.
Well,
luckily,
here's the other thing.
We might have legalized weed here, Kimmer.
Well, I was going to say the two things that are all, they're now linked together, legalized weed and or legalized gambling, casino gambling. You know, legalized weed, again, as mentioned on the podcast, my if they legalize marijuana, I'm smoking it. Okay. I mean, please, you're killing me. It's just no problem. Here's my problem. Until they come up with a way to measure the effect of lingering marijuana in your system, anybody who is driving along in his car and pulls up to a stop sign, looks both ways, and then takes off, and a kid drives his bike in front of him and gets hit and goes to the hospital, then the driver gets blood tested. Ooh, you've got marijuana in your hair. Yeah, but it was like 3 weeks ago, officer. Too bad. Boom, bam, jail time for, driving under the influence, causing an accident with injury of a child. You could get 8 years in prison for being reckless when you smoked a joint 3 weeks ago at a party because they can't prove a 200-pound man can smoke marijuana and then after 4 hours it's gone or whatever. You know what I mean? It's not the same as a blood test. So anybody who gets in an accident or has a problem or gets in a fight, if you get in, a fist fight someplace at a Publix over getting in line and you get charged and they say, oh, you've got marijuana. Well, you're obviously a drug addict so-and-so. And I'm going, oh, my God. I mean, that's to me, and until they can figure that out, it'd be dangerous. I mean, and the other thing is, I remember David Steinberg, whatever his name, former comedian, said one time that when he started doing marijuana, and he said, I had to stop because I realized one day when I was driving my car and I was high, the cop pulled me over and said, Mr. Steinberg, do you have any fast high you were going here on Interstate 10? He said, no, sir. And the cop says, 12. I'm not sure I'm worried about the danger of driving high other than if you get something happens,
yeah.
You can go to jail because you did something weeks ago and it has nothing to do with your.
I'm about to blow your mind here, Kimmer. There's already police already carry what's called the Hound. It's a cannabis breathalyzer that can tell whether you used it recently or older or whether or not you're impaired. So that will bring it to more of a realistic use.
But any lawyer can fight that. You know, what's the scale, Your Honor? But he has a high metabolism, and that doesn't fit him. I mean, again, I don't know how that can possibly work. It's either going to be if it's in your system and you have a problem, you're convicted.
Yeah.
Well, but and that'll stop people, maybe. I doubt it.
Let me point this out, because we're all old enough to remember that when you wanted to buy alcohol in the state of Georgia on a Sunday, it wasn't going to happen. It's been interesting that over the past 20 years, we've now slowly moved towards, hey, you can get a beer on Sunday, you can buy alcohol, you can buy liquor, to now we're at the precipice of now deciding about casino gambling or legalized marijuana. That is something that I didn't have as part of my agenda for the next several years.
Yeah, well, and the legalized gambling, I have two brothers who were, kind of fun gambler guys. They would bet, well, on the golf course, they would throw tees into a creek and bet on which tee would get to the end of the creek first. I mean, they would literally bet on the color of the car that came around the corner the next day. I mean, it was unbelievable. So, and they went through all their money and it just all of a sudden it's gone. And I'm a terrible gambler. If I'm in a poker game, I know I'm the guy. I'm the sucker, and I'm going to lose. And so I don't gamble. If I go to Vegas, I'll take $200 or $100. This is like 10 years ago, and say, okay, when that's gone, I'm done, and then I'll just watch other people lose their money. My attitude is I'm a terrible gambler. I know it, and if I did it, I'd get hooked. I know very well. I'd get the maybe this time, baby. So I play in the lottery. Maybe if I only spend $5, you'll take pity on me and the lottery gods will make me win this time. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, I don't know. I think it's dangerous and maybe it's great for the state. If it's great for the state, fine, sign the bill. But I'm nervous about it just from personal experiences.
Yeah, I'm nervous about it too. And I said the same thing. My grandparents lost everything they had in a casino. All right, I need to know what Ozempic face is.
Maybe y'all should start winning by the way.
Well, I'm terrible. And I know I'm a loser. I mean, I'm just not that kind of.
I'm gonna let Carlos place mine.
Honestly, I play with I'll get a two and a seven and a jack. And I mean, it's just, it's nothing.
You
anyway,
get the word.
Ozempic face. I was going, you know, I don't, I'm not a, as you were mocking me earlier about my lack of technical skills, which is true. No, it's true. I'm not a tech guy, but once or twice a day, I go on Twitter to see what's going on. And I saw this thing, Ozempic face. So what the hell is Ozempic face? You know, you've heard the commercial for, if you got that sugar, Ozempic, whatever. Yeah, and then list all the side effects. You're probably going to die, anal fissures, bloody shooting, you know, stuff. All the terrible things. But all of a sudden now on Twitter, there's something called Ozempic face. And what happens is, as these people start taking this stuff, they lose a lot of weight in their face and they look gaunt and sort of gray and really terrible. And there's actually testimony from dermatologists who are saying, no, this is real. This is not just a TikTok gimmick, but they're all over TikTok of people saying, I've got Ozempic face. And one of the doctors says, well, the only cure for that is to get fat again. And start gaining weight back because fat in your face is important. That's the damnedest thing I've ever seen. Ozempic face.
Yeah, because it's used as a weight loss drug, right, Carlos? I mean, yeah, they kind of put it out there
out. I had no idea about this. I'm just now learning about it and reading, going like, there is Ozempic face. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a true thing. That's hard to believe. By the way, on the Twitter thing also, it turns out that Mike Lindell has been out polling the people who want to change in the GOP chairmanship of the Republican Party. Ronna McDaniel, of course, is in big trouble with Harmeet Dillon.
Yep.
Who I really impressed with. I love that. She's a smart cookie. I like this woman. And by the way, cookie, by the way, is offensive. So excuse me, girls. But anyway, I respect her. I respect her. You know, so, I mean, what more do you want? You know, respecting a woman as highly as I do is probably the way it ought to be. But Mike Lindell is out polling both of them to be the new Republican chairman. And I said, oh, wait a minute. This has got to be like Bodie McBookface, you know, just to have some fun with a research gimmick. I don't know, but I thought that was fairly amusing.
I'll point this out. I've been listening to Mike Lindell recently. He's done a couple of Twitter spaces, and the amount of data that he's collected on the 2020 election, this is what's been very interesting about it. He talks about Democrats screwing over Democrats in elections, where if somebody's a little bit of an outsider, even if they're running on the Democrat side, he'll talk about how they got three votes, and they know they got more than that. They can verify they got more than that, but in their district, they only got three votes. He is trying to clean up these elections for America, and so I think that is resonating with the people that have listened to him. I was hoping for that. Ryan, like I said, I find myself now in Twitter spaces almost every single evening, listening to different topics. I listened to a number of people that were, I brought it up a little bit earlier this week, that were from Cuba talking about communism. And to hear them have that discussion about what their families had gone through, there's nothing more clear. That's going to the horse's mouth. Obviously, there's all the stuff with vaccines and COVID. There's taxation policy. There's investment stuff. Twitter Spaces has just become this place where I find myself, when I'm not listening to radio, I'm listening to a version of radio with a number of different experts out there.
Yeah, I know. We need to have our own Twitter space soon here. And I think it's something we should definitely put together. But yeah, it's become the popular forum because it's the only place now for a long time that we can actually get the truth and we can actually have an open conversation. Twitter is now exactly what it was meant to be. And Kimmer, we started Twitter to be a town hall, and now finally we're able to use spaces. We're able to hear people like Mike Lindell, who's been banned for his thoughts of 2020 election. This is a good thing that Twitter's doing.
Well, as I've been saying for years, because of what the Democrats have done, the First Amendment is almost null and void in America, as is almost the Second Amendment, which they keep getting backwards. But here, you know, these freaking Democrats, and speaking of Twitter, I think it's hysterical that Adam Schiff for Brains, I said Schiff, is actually started whining like a little crybaby about how they came. All I did was try and lead the impeachment against Donald Trump. No, you freaking liar. All you did was lie and was ahead of the coup attempt that worked in this country, an actual coup with a Democratic leadership, and for him to complain, he goes on TikTok, you know, the Chinese communists, you know, I mean, what an idiot. And by the way, not only, and now he's announced that he's going to try to run for the Senate seat with the Dianne Feinfinkel-Cheatstein, who's like 900 years old and doesn't know where she is, so he'll probably be, I'm sure, be elected to that, which I think is pretty funny, but he starts squealing on TikTok. And by the way, did you hear that Matt Gaetz has now introduced a bill that would prevent Adam Schiff for brains from getting any classified information.
Love that.
Good.
Oh,
we need to nail these. All these people need to be in prison. They need to be gangbanged by weightlifters, you know, for about 12 years.
And that, is how the radio Gatling gun finishes off his radio Gatling gun
Drop the mic.
He is the Kimmer. We'll talk to you next week. That man is loved. He is so loved. And the things that come up on this show.
Don't go to prison.
No. Oh, no, not at all. That sounds like an awful thing to have happen to you.
Oh, goodness.
My God. All right, when we get back, a murder trial, it's taken an interesting twist. We'll talk about that as it's one of those things being talked around the nation right here on The Morning Extra. This is Extra 106.3 FM.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.